Friends by mail. Primary children from the Lubbock, Texas, North Stake, USA collected 887 handprints with their acts of service written on them. Then two artists from the stake made this beautiful nativity. Look closely to see the hands. The stake invited people to come see it, and more than 4,500 people attended. The children learned that by helping others, they felt closer to our Savior. Here's what some of the children had to say.
Service to me means to do jobs for people who are in need of help. It reminds me of Jesus when he did all his miracles to help people. Logan S., age 9.
Giving service helps me feel closer to the Lord. Avery B., age 10.
When I do something good, it makes my heart feel warm. That's when I feel my Savior. Aiden K., age 7.
Dear friends, this year we invited you to tell us how you were standing tall by following the Savior. And you did! Thousands of footprints and stories came to our mailbox from all over the world. We read and loved each one. As a Christmas gift to you, we've made a video to show some of your footprints and stories. You can watch it at friend.lds.org. Go to page 17 to see some of the footprints. Merry Christmas, the friend. P.S. Watch for a new invitation from the friend next month. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how.
End of Friends by Mail. Read by Enzo Patello, Alyssa Peterson, and Gabriel Reinwad.
Meet Elder Dale G. Renland. Elder Renland was born in November 1952. His mother was from Sweden, and his father was from Finland. When Dale was almost 11, his family moved from Utah, USA, to Finland and Sweden for 3 years. After high school, Dale was called to serve a mission in Sweden. Dale met Ruth Libert while attending college. They were married in the Salt Lake Temple in 1977, while he was studying to become a heart doctor. The Renlands have a daughter, Ashley. In 2009, he was called to serve in an area presidency in Africa for 5 years. He has been an apostle since October 2015. What is an apostle? When Jesus was on the earth, he called 12 men to be his special helpers and witnesses. They were called apostles. He has called apostles to be his special helpers and witnesses today. They testify of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Elder Renland is an apostle. End of the article, Meet Elder Dale G. Renland, read by Maya Reinwand.
From the First Presidency, A Shining Light, by President Thomas S. Monson. There are opportunities all around us to shine every day. Each of us came to earth with the light of Christ. As we follow the example of the Savior and live as he lived and as he taught, that light will burn within us and will light the way for others. We can be a light in the lives of our family members, friends, classmates, people we just met, or even total strangers. There are around us those who are lonely, those who are sick, and those who feel discouraged. We can help them and lift their spirits. The Savior brought hope to the hopeless and strength to the weak. He healed the sick. He caused the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. He even raised the dead to life. Throughout his ministry, he reached out in charity to any in need. As we emulate or follow his example, we will bless lives, including our own. How comforting are the Savior's words, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John chapter 8, verse 12. I testify that he is our Savior and Redeemer, our exemplar, someone who is a good example and our strength. He is the light which shineth in darkness. Doctrine and Covenants, section 6, verse 21. I pray that each of us may pledge or promise to follow him and become a shining light to the world. Note, adapted from Be an Example and a Light, October 2015, General Conference. Watch Christmas videos all month long at mormon.org. Shine like Jesus. Jesus asked us to love and serve others. Go to page 3 to play a matching game that teaches us how to follow Jesus' example. The Christmas star led the wise men to Jesus. How can you follow his light this month? Visit mormon.org for some ideas. End of the article. From the First Presidency, A Shining Light by President Thomas S. Monson. Read by David Shaw.
A Tree for Travis by Charlotte May Shepherd, based on a true story. Jacqueline had a great idea, but could she pull it off? 'Tis love we get when love we bring. Children's Songbook, page 138. Jacqueline's family talked and laughed as they walked through the snow-dusted woods, but behind them, Jacqueline quietly trudged with the speed of a melting snowman. She had waited all year for her family's Christmas tree hunt. She had dreamed about crunching through the frosty forest, sipping hot cocoa, and decorating the perfect tree until every branch sparkled with lights. But now the frost she had waited for was freezing her toes, and the hot cocoa in her thermos didn't taste as sweet as usual. She kept thinking about Travis. Travis was Jacqueline's best friend. He used to have a house near hers, but this winter his family had moved into a small trailer. The move had been really hard for Travis. There wasn't even enough room for a Christmas tree in their new place, and Travis loved Christmas trees. Suddenly Jacqueline stopped. Popping up from the snow in front of her was a tiny pine sapling. Maybe it would fit in Travis's new home. Jacqueline's eyes lit up as she reached for it.
"Whoa,"
Dad said, putting a mittened hand on her shoulder.
"We can't cut down the little trees. They need to grow for next year."
As Dad continued through the forest, Jacqueline looked back at the sapling and smiled. She had an idea. Hours later, Jacqueline was walking through the snow again, but this time in her own backyard. From where she stood, she could just glimpse her family's Christmas tree twinkling through the windows of their house. Their tree hunt was over, but hers wasn't quite finished. She walked next to the towering trees that marked the edge of her yard until she saw a pine branch growing low enough to reach. It was just the right size for Travis's trailer. Dad had told her that taking one small branch wouldn't hurt the tree too much. With a grunt, Jacqueline broke off the branch, but it didn't look at all like the Christmas tree twinkling inside. Making Travis's tree was going to be harder than she thought. The next day, Jacqueline sat in the car and watched the forest rush by in a blur of brown and green.
"Aren't you excited to give Travis his tree?"
Mom asked. Jacqueline shrugged. She had spent all day trying to make the little tree look just right, but it didn't end up nearly as nice as she wanted. They parked in front of Travis's trailer, and Jacqueline opened the trunk. When she saw the tree, her heart sank. It was lopsided, with needles drooping from its branches. Even the ribbons Jacqueline had tied around it were crumpled. Hot tears stung at the corner of Jacqueline's eyes. It looked nothing like a real Christmas tree. It would probably just make Travis's Christmas worse. The door to the trailer swung open, and Travis bounded down the steps. With a deep breath, Jacqueline held out the tree.
"Merry Christmas,"
she said shakily. When Travis saw the tree, a grin spread across his face.
"Wow, it's perfect,"
he cried out.
"Thank you."
Jacqueline felt a warm feeling grow inside her, melting away the sad and worried feelings she'd had before. She realized that her gift wasn't really the tree or the ribbons, so it didn't matter if those were perfect or not. What she had really given Travis was love, like Jesus would have done, and she couldn't wait to give it again. The author lives in California, USA. End of the story, A Tree for Travis, read by Natalie Moore, Benjamin Hiram White, Charlene Stewart, Mia Peterson, and David White.
Family Night Fun. Here are some fun family home evening ideas from this month's magazine. What other ideas can you come up with? Terrific trees. Read A Tree for Travis on page 4. Make these trees to give away as Christmas gifts. What other ways can you be like Jesus and show love to your friends? Go to mormon.org this month for some ideas. You will need one pine cone for each tree, green paint, paint brushes, craft glue, a small square of cardboard, and plastic beads or old plastic jewelry. 1. Paint each pine cone green. 2. After the paint is dried, glue the pine cone stem side down onto the cardboard square. Let it dry. 3. Decorate the trees by gluing beads or pieces of plastic jewelry onto the branches. Winter lemonade. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Try making this winter lemonade recipe. Be sure to get an adult's help. You'll need 5 cups hot water, 1 cup of sugar, 1.5 teaspoons of ground cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon ground ginger, 1 orange cut into 4 pieces, 5 whole cloves, and 1 cup fresh lemon juice, about 4 lemons. 1. Boil half of the water and stir in the sugar until dissolved. Remove from heat. 2. Stir in the cinnamon, ginger, orange slices, and cloves. Cover and let sit for 30 minutes. 3. Strain the liquid from the pan into a large pitcher. Stir in the lemon juice and the rest of the hot water. Serve warm. Dealing with disappointment. What can you do when something doesn't go the way you planned? Look for things to be grateful for. The more you look, the more you'll find. Remember that Heavenly Father and Jesus always love you. Don't be afraid to try again. Some situations are out of your control, but you can always pray to Heavenly Father for help and comfort. Tasty treats. Try these for family home evening this month. Top snack crackers with cottage cheese and sprinkle with paprika. Drizzle plain popcorn with melted white chocolate and top with sprinkles. Wrap cheese sticks in slices of ham or salami. More FHE ideas. Look for these pictures in the magazine to find the stories and articles they go with. Find the page numbers below. Idea 1. Get ready for Christmas with the Christmas Advent calendar. Read about how people in the Book of Mormon and Bible learned about Jesus Christ's birth. Take turns reading the scriptures together each night. Idea 2. Does your family have any special traditions on Sunday? Read Sharing Traditions and Happy Sabbath, and talk about how you can share your Sunday traditions. Write and tell us about it. Idea 3. Have a journal challenge. Read My Not-So-Great Sixth Grade Year and use the prompts at the end to write or draw in your journal. Help each other write 10 about you facts for each person. End of this month's Family Night Fun, read by Kara McClellan.
The Getting Tree by Hannah Holt, based on a true story. If the tree in the foyer had gifts, Tyler wanted first pick. We a Gift Before Thee Lay, Children's Songbook, page 39. Tyler held the church door open, and Mom hurried inside. They were late for the ward Christmas party, so Tyler could only glance at the new Christmas tree in the foyer. But there was something different about the tree. It didn't have any lights or lots of ornaments. Instead, there were little papers hanging from the branches.
Welcome,
said the bishop from the front of the room.
Before we start our program, I have a special announcement.
Tyler's little sister, Rose, started fussing, so Tyler leaned down to help her. Over the noise, Tyler thought he heard the bishop say something like, "The Getting Tree," and "Take a tag." If the tree in the foyer had gifts, Tyler wanted first pick. While everyone else watched the program, Tyler slipped away before the end. Carefully, Tyler lifted a paper off a branch. The first tag read, "Girl, winter coat, size 5. He put it back. The next read, "Grocery gift card." Tyler worried that they might all be boring gifts. But then he found just the right one. "Boy, big whirl helicopter." He stuffed the tag in his pocket and raced to find Mom.
"There you are,"
Mom said.
"It's almost time to leave."
"Okay,"
said Tyler.
but first I picked this from the getting tree. How do I get my helicopter?
Oh, honey, it's not the getting tree. It's the giving tree. The tags are gifts for families in need.
Tyler's cheeks burned. He wanted to put the tag back, but other people had gathered around the tree. After church tomorrow, when no one was looking, he would put it back. The next day, Tyler's primary teacher told about the wise men who brought gifts to Jesus.
What could you give Jesus for Christmas?
She asked. Tyler closed his fingers around the gift tag in his pocket. He didn't feel embarrassed anymore. He felt like he wanted to give. The only problem was he didn't have gold, frankincense, or myrrh. But maybe he could earn some money for a big whirl helicopter. As soon as Tyler got home, he dumped the money from his piggy bank on the bed. He had $2.47. Not enough. He asked Mom if he could do chores for money, but she said,
"Not on Sunday."
The gift had to be turned in by next week. Could he earn the money in time? While he thought, Rose brought him the Friend magazine. As Tyler read to her, he saw the answer to his problem. The Friend had a story about kids running a hot chocolate stand to earn money to donate.
Could I set up a cocoa stand tomorrow?
Maybe. Why?
To earn money for the Giving Tree present.
Mom gave him a hug.
Sure, I'll help you.
The next day, Tyler put a table and chairs outside. Mom boiled water and Tyler mixed in the cocoa. Rose even helped by holding a sign. By the end of the afternoon, Tyler's nose was cold and his fingers felt stiff, but he had enough money for the big whirl helicopter. Tyler felt happy all the way to the store. He smiled as he wrapped the gift and dropped it off to the bishop. He knew now it was called the Giving Tree, but the feeling he had inside was like a special gift, too. At least in that way, it really was the Getting Tree. The author lives in Oregon, USA.
Sidebar. My friends and I got together for an art camp. We had lots of fun creating art together. Then we had an art sale to raise money for a children's charity we picked. Everyone loves seeing what we made. Tess H., age 7, Virginia, USA.
End of the story, The Getting Tree. Read by Van Farnworth, Benjamin Hiram White, Kara McClellan, Ethan Nelson, Charlene Stewart, and Mia Peterson.
Fun stuff. Puzzle page. Hink, pink, think. A hink pink is a pair of rhyming words that match a definition. See if you can solve these. The first one's been done for you. Check your answers on page 39. Number 1. A place to buy the stuff you walk on in your home. Floor, store. Number 2, a cart for carrying winged, fire-breathing creatures. Number 3, something that likes to eat flies and hop down the street. Number 4, a light red place for washing dishes. Number 5, sweets that you accidentally drop onto the beach. Number 6, a primary colored liquid for sticking things together. Number 7, a place to get a drink of water at the top of a huge hill. Number 8, more than 25%, but less than 75% of a chuckle. Mixed up stockings. There are 25 Christmas stockings on this page. Can you find the 12 pairs? Can you find the one without a match? What's the question? Pretend somebody said this to you. The answer is 10. What's a question that would match that answer? You could come up with all kinds of questions that work. 7 plus 3, 5 plus 5, or 12 minus 2 are only a few of them. Now try this one. The answer is a school desk that's also a spaceship. What's the question for that answer? Send your favorite question to the Friend if you want to share. End of the article, Fun Stuff, Puzzle Page, read by Scott Moore.
Cookies, Cans, and Christmas, a true story written by you. I want to show love to others like Grandma did. By McCrae M., age 11, Idaho, USA. During this holiday season, I'm reminded of a story about my grandma that my mom has shared with us many times. It was Christmas Eve, and my mom was about 12 years old. She and her mom and sisters were traveling across town to visit family, and it was raining hard outside. Grandma had a tradition of making plates upon plates of Christmas goodies for family, friends, and loved ones. The car was full, traffic was crazy, and everyone was trying to rush home for the holidays or get their last-minute shopping done. In the middle of it all was a homeless man with a shopping cart full of cans. He started to cross the street at a red light, and all of a sudden, the whole cart fell over. Cans were everywhere. It seemed as though the chaos of Christmas went silent. My mom wondered why no one was helping. An outburst of horns began to honk as if to tell the man to get out of the way. To my mom's surprise, her mom got out of the cart and quickly began helping the man pick up his cans. Then other people followed. It was pouring rain, and my grandma was wet when she returned to the car. As they sat in the backed-up traffic, my aunts, moms, and grandmas all had a wonderful idea to rush out of the car and give the man a plate of Christmas goodies. In that moment, as my grandma gave the man the Christmas gift, my mom's heart was touched with the reminder of the true meaning of Christmas. I am grateful for the courage and love my grandma had to go help that man so long ago. I hope that I can show that same love to my family and to those I meet. Cookies, Cans, and Christmas, read by David White.
Answers from an Apostle. How Can I Feel Closer to the Savior? By Elder Dale G. Renland of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. We can remember how he suffered for us so we can be forgiven. We can picture the stable in Bethlehem where he was born. We can know that the Savior is nearby all the time. We can remember him when we take the sacrament. From That I Might Draw All Men Unto Me, Ensign, May 2016, pages 39 through 42. End of the section, Answers from an Apostle, How Can I Feel Closer to the Savior? By Elder Dale G. Renland of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. Read by Dwayne Case.
Friends Who Stand Tall. Blessings for Blessy.
Hi, my name is Blessy. I live in India with my family. I got to plan a special Christmas activity for my school and share the gospel with my friends. Young Missionaries. My primary leaders teach that we should be missionaries. Sometimes I invite my friends to church. Most of the time, they say no. I thought that maybe I was too young to be a missionary. A Family Challenge. Then, at Family Home Evening, Dad challenged our family to invite one person to church every month. I wanted to do it, but it was tough. I asked Dad for help. He said I could pray, so I did. The Idea. The next day at school, the principal asked for ideas for a school Christmas activity. I had a great idea. I told her that all the primary age kids could come visit my church. She called my parents and they talked to the bishop to plan the activity. Our primary leaders and the missionaries helped too. An exciting day. Soon they arrived. I felt nervous and excited at the same time. When Dad took me to school, I saw everyone was there and ready to go. Almost 500 students and teachers came. Together at church. At the church, we watched a video about Jesus Christ's birth. The young adults and missionaries sang Christmas songs. The bishop and my dad gave talks about how Jesus loves children and about loving one another. I gave a talk about Christmas. Everyone had a great time. My principal and my teacher even asked the missionaries questions.
Blessy's Tips for Standing Tall.
Pray for help. Invite people to come to church, even if you think they'll say no. Remember that Heavenly Father will help you. End of the section, Friends Who Stand Tall. Blessings for Blessy. Read by Maya and Gabriel Reinwand.
Fun Stuff. Hidden Picture. Happy Christmas. These children invited some friends to help act out a nativity scene. Can you find these hidden objects? A paintbrush, a hat, a golf club, a banana, a tie, a flashlight, a boat, a piece of pie, a heart, a yellow leaf, a paintbrush, a lemon slice, a green leaf, a drumstick, a cup, a toothbrush, and a colored pencil. End of Hidden Picture, read by Shannon Nelson.
Thanks for standing tall. This year, thousands of you told us how you were standing tall for the Savior. Here are just a few of your footprints. Watch a Standing Tall video at friend.lds.org to see more. And look for a new challenge for 2017 in next month's Friend. I will stand tall by not participating in bad social media. KDC, age 12, Iowa, USA. I stand tall by feeding the chickens without complaining. Hezekiah V, age 8, Colorado, USA. Be friends with everyone. Make sure to always include all children, no matter how different they are. Layla P, age 5, Louisiana, USA. I will stand tall by inviting people to church. Annie W, age 10, Ohio, USA. In a pledge to stand tall, I will read the scriptures daily. Even though I might find it hard, I will stand tall and do it because I know that's the right thing to do. Alexis T, age 11, Victoria, Australia. In a pledge to stand tall, I am going to stand up for myself and help those who are dealing with hard times. Alicia I, age 11, Victoria, Australia. I can stand tall by telling the truth. Jake W, age 3, Ohio, USA. I will stand tall by being righteous. Sunny S, age 5, Washington, USA. I will stand tall by being kind to my little brothers, even though they are a little annoying. Ariel S, age 8, Washington, USA. I will read the Book of Mormon and get ready for my mission. Kelly S, age 8, Victoria, Australia. End of the article, Thanks for Standing Tall, read by Maya Reinwand.
A different Christmas. It would be hard not seeing Mom, but Christmas could still be good. In serving I am blessed, in giving I receive. Children's Songbook, page 74. It was almost Christmas, but Diego wasn't feeling very excited. This was the first Christmas since his parents got divorced, and nothing felt the same. He and his brother Samuel wouldn't even get to see Mom this Christmas.
Everything's different,
Diego said to Dad.
I know.
Dad's eyes were sad.
Sometimes things change before they get better.
He was quiet for a bit, then smiled.
Christmas will be different this year, but that doesn't mean we won't have some good times. We'll still be celebrating the birth of the Savior.
Diego nodded. It would be hard not seeing Mom, but maybe Christmas could still be good, just like Dad said. Diego wanted to help make this Christmas a happy one. He went to his room to think. Sometimes for Christmas, they did a family service project. What could they do this year? Diego looked around his room. He saw a toy car he didn't play with anymore. He picked it up and spun the wheels. It was still really good. Maybe he and Dad and Samuel could give some toys to kids who didn't have any. He found a few other toys and put them in a bag with the car. When Diego finished, he took the bag to Samuel's room.
Can I help clean your room? It's a surprise for Dad.
Samuel looked up from the picture he was drawing.
Sure.
The boys worked together to clean Samuel's room. Diego told him about the plan. They found a few toys that Samuel didn't play with anymore and added them to the bag. When they were done, they carried the bag downstairs.
Dad, we found some toys you don't play with anymore. Can we give them to the kids who don't have any toys?
Dad looked surprised and happy.
That's a great idea. Let's take them to the homeless shelter this afternoon.
Visiting the shelter was fun. Diego and Samuel got to play with some of the kids while Dad talked to the grown-ups. On the way back, Dad asked what else they could do to make this Christmas special.
Last Christmas, we made treats for our neighbors.
We could do that. Let's go buy stuff to make cookies.
Samuel thought cookies were a great idea. The boys helped Dad shop for the ingredients at the store. At home, they made the dough and cut out star and tree shapes. Diego and Samuel frosted the cookies yellow and green, Then they took little bags of cookies to their neighbors. At the end of the day, Diego was tired but happy. He and Samuel and Dad had done things together as a family and had helped others. Dad was right. Christmas was different, but it was still good. The author lives in Colorado, USA.
Sidebar. One day, I went to the store to do a sub for Santa for a 6-year-old girl. We bought a doll and 2 outfits. When we were done, I felt the spirit. I said that next year we should do a boy and a girl. I hope we do. Cindy S., age 9, Utah, USA.
End of the story, A Different Christmas. Read by Wes Nelson, Matthew Moore, Scott Christopher, Daniel McClellan, and Margot Patello. Book of Mormon Hero, Moroni's Challenge. Moroni wrote on the golden plates about the priesthood, the sacrament, and baptism. He challenged us to read the Book of Mormon and ask Heavenly Father if it's true. If we pray and listen for the answer, the Holy Ghost can tell us it's true. When Moroni finished writing, he buried the plates in the ground to keep them safe.
I've been reading my scriptures with my dad every day. It is helping me to get a testimony. I will not give up. Spencer P., age 10, Wisconsin, USA.
I can accept the challenge. Memorize Moroni chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Follow Moroni's challenge. Pray for the Holy Ghost to help you know that the Book of Mormon is true. Visit scripturestories.lds.org to watch videos 53 and 54 of Book of Mormon stories. I challenge myself to... Picture a stable. When Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem, the only place they could find to stay was a stable, where animals were kept. Jesus Christ was born in the stable and laid in a manger. Shepherds and wise men followed a star to Jesus. The Nephites also saw this star and knew that Jesus had been born. We celebrate Christmas to remember his birth. You can print more copies at friend2016bom.lds.org. End of Moroni's Challenge, read by Wes Nelson and Matthew Moore.
Happy Sabbath, Sunday Stories. We hope you've learned a lot this year about making Sunday a special day to focus on and learn about Jesus. Here are some ways children like you keep the Sabbath day holy. Write to us at The Friend and tell us about how your family makes Sunday special.
One day, I was coming back from my dad's house. It was Sunday morning, and he asked me if I wanted to stop and get something for breakfast. I definitely wanted to stop. I was hungry, but after I remembered that it was Sunday, I told him that I didn't want to stop. I wanted to keep the Sabbath day holy. That day, I was happy because I did what was right, and I also helped my dad to choose the right. Good choices helped me feel the Holy Ghost. Isaac J., age 8, Idaho, USA.
One winter Sunday morning, it was cold and icy, and it had snowed the night before. We were debating whether or not to go to church. We decided to go. While listening to the talks, I felt the Spirit stronger than ever before. I was very happy that we went to church that day, and I know why I felt the Spirit. It was because this was the first time I actually listened to the talks. I felt very happy, calm, and humble. Annabelle K., age 10, Maryland, USA.
When it is warm enough, Elizabeth M., age 10, Utah, USA, likes going on walks with her family after church to visit her grandma. End of the section, Happy Sabbath, Sunday Stories, read by Maya, Eden, and Gabriel Reinwald.
Watching for Jesus. For many years, Book of Mormon prophets, like Nephi and Samuel, taught that Jesus would come to save his people. Far away across the ocean, shepherds and wise men traveled to Bethlehem to see the baby Jesus. Carefully lift the staples and take out pages 24 and 25. Starting on December 1st, read the scriptures for each night. Then, cut, fold, and take the strip of paper down. On Christmas Eve, you'll see the sign that people everywhere saw on the night Jesus was born. End of the activity, Watching for Jesus,
read by Ocean Patello.
Music. Samuel Tells of the Baby Jesus. Words by Mabel Jones-Gavitt. Music by Gretcha Terberg Rowley. Copyright 1985 by Mabel Jones-Gavitt and Gretcha Terberg Rowley. Watch a sing-along video for this song at children.lds.org. Click on Videos and Music. Section Music, Samuel Tells of the Baby Jesus. The Hill by Julia M. L. Whitehead, based on a true story. What was so dangerous about the hill? Honor thy father and thy mother, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Darla's mittens and boots had barely dried when she sat down on the rug to put them back on. She could hardly wait to go sledding again. Sledding in the park with her friends was Darla's favorite thing about winter. The round, snowy hills were perfect for sledding. But now that Darla and her friends were getting older, they wanted to try the bigger hills at the park instead. They were ready for the hill. It was the biggest, slipperiest hill in the whole park. And for Darla, it was also off limits.
I've already heard of at least two kids getting hurt on that hill this year,
Mom said when Darla asked to go sledding on the hill.
That's why one of our family rules is that we don't sled on it.
When the hill got icy, sleds got harder to control. Kids crashed into the fence at the bottom and got hurt.
But Mom, by the time you get to the bottom, you're going so slow you can just roll off before you get to the fence,
Darla said. But Mom wasn't changing her mind. Darla headed outside to meet up with her friends.
Let's go down the hill,
Sasha said. Darla's stomach squirmed.
How about we just stay on the small hills? My mom says I can't go down that one.
Why not? The other hills are too boring,
said Emily. She started toward the hill.
Come on.
Darla looked up at the hill. It really did look fun. And she'd be careful. But then she looked down at the fence at the bottom. Darla sighed. She knew Mom wanted her to be safe. Sasha and Emily were already walking to the hill.
I guess I'd better head home,
Darla called after them.
Okay,
Sasha called back.
But you're missing out.
Maybe she was missing out, Darla thought as she dragged her sled home.
What happened?
Mom asked when Darla walked back inside.
Sasha and Emily wanted to sled down the hill,
she said with a frown.
I told them I couldn't, and I asked them to stay on the smaller hills. But they still went, so I came home.
Mom hugged Darla.
Thanks for being obedient. I bet that was hard.
Darla's shoulders slumped.
Yeah, I was really excited to go sledding.
I know. Obeying family rules isn't always easy, but I'm really proud of you for choosing the right. I bet you were listening to the Holy Ghost.
Darla nodded. She did feel good about her choice, even though it was hard. Mom's words helped warm her up inside, and that reminded her.
How about some hot chocolate? Maybe we can invite Sasha and Emily over for some when they get back.
The author lives in Utah, USA.
Sidebar. I will stand tall by obeying my parents all the time. Isaac C., age 5, Nebraska, USA.
End of the story, The Hill. Read by Wes Nelson, Kara McClellan, Maya Reinwand, Alyssa Peterson, Chloe Patello, and Gabriel Reinwand.
Friend to Friend, Sharing Traditions, by Elder Donald L. Hallstrom of the Presidency of the 70, from an interview with Linda Davies. I grew up in Hawaii, USA. People from all over the world lived there. I had friends from lots of countries. I learned a lot from them about their traditions. My Japanese friends taught me how to eat with chopsticks. They also taught me to take my shoes off at the front door. We always did this at our school. Your family may have their own traditions. These are special activities your family shares. Sharing our traditions with others is like sharing the gospel. It makes us feel happy, warm, and loved. In the gospel, we have commandments. They are kind of like traditions, but they are much more important because they are from Heavenly Father. We live the word of wisdom so our bodies can be healthy and strong. We keep the Sabbath day holy, and we take the sacrament to remember Jesus and how He died for our sins. Our gospel traditions are reading the Scriptures, praying, and having family home evening. These things bring us closer to our families. They help us choose the right. They teach us that Heavenly Father loves us. Not everyone has the same traditions we do, but we can still share Heavenly Father's love with them. There is a primary song about sharing and love. It can help us to remember to share our Heavenly Father's love with others. As I have loved you, love one another. This new commandment, love one another. By this shall men know ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Children's Songbook, page 136.
Heavenly Father's Family. God gives His love and goodness to everyone. We can learn a lot of good from others, and we can share a lot of good too. Everyone belongs in Heavenly Father's family. How can you learn from and share with others? Do the crossword puzzle on page 31. End of the article, Sharing Traditions, read by Duane Case and Salem Tullis.
Show and tell.
Christmas story. Christmas is when we give to others. We spend time with our siblings, fathers and mothers. It's all about Jesus' birth. People rejoice all over the earth. Jesus' life was the right way to live. And now we honor His birth with presents to give. Heavenly Father gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the righteous and holy one. Megan J., age 11, Utah, USA.
Abigail C., age 5, Pennsylvania, USA, said, after we made Christmas crackers and filled them with some of our Halloween candy, we took them to a nursing home and gave them to the people who live there. I felt happy and warm inside.
One fast Sunday, I felt something say, go bear your testimony. And right when that feeling hit me, I knew it was the Holy Ghost. And instead of having a nervous feeling, I felt courage. And so bearing my testimony wasn't so bad. Sion T, age 9, Utah, USA.
Piper M, age 9, New Hampshire, USA, said, I live with my grandparents, so everybody comes over to our house. When it snows, my cousin and I like to make snow forts. We like to have fun as a family.
I feel the Holy Ghost when I sing, Stars Were Gleaming. It makes me feel warm inside. Andrew T, age 7, California, USA.
Victoria G, age 10, Missouri, USA, said, to help us remember the true meaning of Christmas, I made a nativity for my family.
These primary children in Italy made a Christmas tree out of handprints to celebrate Christmas.
Megan B, age 10, California, USA, said, I taught my friend who lives across the street about the birth of Jesus.
A new family moved into our branch as refugees from a country where there was a war. We live for our cold winters, and I was able to give my coat to my new friend, Eric S., age 11, Primorsky Krai, Russia.
Other contributors to Show and Tell. Elena W., age 10, Arizona, USA. Jacob T., age 11, Utah, USA. Miles T., age 10, Idaho, USA. Alicia T., age 5, Pennsylvania, USA. A Child is Born by Sophia M., age 7, Honduras. Standing Tall. Go to page 17 to see some great footprints.
End of Show and Tell.
For older kids. My Not So Great Sixth Grade Year by Jessica Larson, based on a true story. Sometimes it felt better just to write about it in my journal. September 9th. Today wasn't the best. I didn't have anyone to sit by at lunch. I missed an easy question on the geography quiz. Also, our team lost at kickball. Sometimes I wonder if I'll ever have any friends at this school. I wish we hadn't moved here. I don't have anyone to talk to. That's why I'm starting a journal. People in books always seem to have journals. I've heard stories from pioneers' journals. I don't know if I'll ever do anything amazing, but it's nice to talk to someone. Hope I can keep this up. Gotta go. Mom's calling me for dinner. P.S. I do feel a little better now. I closed my journal and went to set the table. The next day was just as bad. When I came home, I felt like I might explode. Instead, I went to my room, opened my journal, and started writing. I dumped all those feelings out. I felt better this time, too. After that, I wrote every few days. I wrote about everything. It was like I was writing my own book. October 21st. Guess what? I made a friend. Her name is Claire, and she's new, too. We both like board games, and we don't like geography. I think I'm going to invite her over for family game night on Friday. I love my journal. I like writing when I feel mad or worried because it makes me feel better. I also like writing about the good things that happened because then I can remember them. Guess what else? I have a book report due next week. Wish me luck. Little by little, things started getting better. I still got picked last for kickball, but I had a few friends, and I joined the math team. I wrote about all of it. Soon, I wasn't writing just to complain. I was writing to a good friend, me. And before I knew it, sixth grade was over. When I came home from the class party, I had quite a few signatures in my yearbook, all from new friends I had made. I pulled out my journal, plopped down on my bed, and wrote my last entry as a sixth grader. June 15th. Today was the last day of sixth grade. Next year, I'll be in 7th grade. I'm nervous about that, but I know I can write when I get scared or when I feel like everything is going wrong. I just went back and read my first entry again. It was so sad that I almost laughed. I'm glad I have it. It shows how much I've grown up this year. I'm glad I'm not so angry or sad anymore. When we moved here, I felt like I would never be happy again. But now when I read my journal, I can see how much Heavenly Father has blessed me. He helped me make new friends and learn hard things. I wonder what's going to happen next year. The author lives in Texas, USA. Not sure what to write? Try this. What made you smile today? Write about it. Write a letter to your future self. Write about your favorite place in the world. Write 3 blessings you are grateful for. Write 10 facts about you. Look for a new prompt each month starting in January. End of the article, My Not-So-Great Sixth Grade Year, read by Salem Tullis.
When I Grow Up, I Want to Be by Linda Davies. What do you want to be when you grow up? Here are some ideas to get you started. You could even write about these in your journal. Idea 1. What do you like to do? Do you like taking care of animals, working on computers, or dancing? The things you like are clues about the talents you have. Idea 2. Talk to a grown-up. Talk to a parent or teacher about your talents and interests. They can help you find more information. Idea 3. Get curious. Talk to people who do interesting jobs. Ask about what they do, what education they needed, and why they love their jobs. Find books or information online about different jobs, too. Idea 4. Experiment. As you get older, take classes in school to learn more about what you love. Try new subjects, too. Maybe you could go to work with someone for a day to watch and learn. This is called job shadowing. Idea 5. Learn about lots of things. Lots of kids don't know yet what they'd like to do when they grow up. That's okay. Learn lots of skills and subjects like science, cooking, babysitting, or sports. Idea 6. Watch and learn. When you grow up, you can also be a mom or dad. Have you thought about the kind of mom or dad you'd want to be? Watch the parents around you to see what you want to do when you are a parent. Idea 7. Pray for help. When Joseph Smith was only 14, he had lots of questions too. This scripture helped him, and it can help you. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. James 1, verse 5. God cares about the questions that matter to us. End of the article, When I Grow Up, I Want to Be, read by Enzo Patello.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's Matt and Mandy, it's Christmas time in the Cooper household. Mandy looks through the presents under the tree.
You got a gift for Stretch? For a rubber chicken?
He needed a new leash. Everybody needs a gift.
Yeah, I wish I could afford a present for everyone I know.
Then Dad says something that opens their minds.
There are great gifts you can give that don't cost any money.
Matt and Mandy begin to point out ways they can give gifts that don't cost any money.
Like friendship.
Or kindness.
Loving.
Forgiving.
Sharing the gospel.
They're all free.
Speaking to us, the readers, Matt and Mandy say,
Speaking of gifts, you are a gift.
To your family and to everyone around you. And we are thankful for you.
Merry Christmas. End of Matt and Mandy.
Stop and flip. Through your eyes.
The grass is green, the dirt is brown. No matter what, the earth is our town. Chase R, H7, Utah, USA.
How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or footprint, fill out the form on page 39 and send it in with your story or artwork. Send a school picture or other high-resolution photo. We might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. You must be at least 3 years old. The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, two girls sit down to a tea party. They've invited their two dogs and dressed them up as princesses, complete with makeup, crowns, dresses, and a pretty pink bow on their tails. One girl says to the other,
Looking good, Jay-Z. Ready for the party.
End of the article, Stop and Flip. Read by Van Farnworth, Daniel McClellan, and Margot Patello.
Make your own ornament. Here's an ornament you can make with your family. Child, color the pictures of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. Mommy or Daddy, glue this page to heavy paper and cut out the pieces. Then cut the doors open and glue the picture behind the doors. Read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16 together. And the shepherds came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Luke chapter 2, verse 16. End of the activity, Make Your Own Ornament, read by Chloe Patello.
For parents of little ones. When you say story time, does your little one come running to hear a good book? Reading is a great way to teach children. So is telling true stories, using your own memories instead of pages. Telling family stories helps children feel loved and secure. It shows them that you've been their age and can empathize. Most of all, family stories show meaning in life, preparing children to navigate their own unfolding stories with confidence. Here are some more ways you can use stories to engage your little ones. Tell true stories while cleaning up, sitting around a fire, or riding in the car. Tell a bedtime story about your child's day. This will show your little one you noticed what was important to him or her. This Christmas season, gather around the tree and say, "Once upon a time when I was little," or "Once upon a time when you were a baby." Tell stories by decorating a Christmas memory tree, like Joel and his family did. See page FJ2. You can read past letters at friendfplo.lds.org. End of For Parents of Little Ones, read by Kristen Hawkins.
Joel's Family Christmas Tree by Jennifer Maddy. "This was Grandma's," Joel said. "She always had a treat for me." "This was my Aunt Lizzie's," said Mommy. "She always made me laugh." "Grandpa taught me how to whistle," Sarah said. "I made this in primary last year," said Joel. "This was on our first Christmas tree," Daddy said. "It's like the star the wise men followed." "I love our family Christmas tree," everyone said. End of the story, Joel's Family Christmas Tree, read by Kara McClellan. Book of Mormon Stories, Moroni's Special Promise. Moroni was the son of Mormon. His father gave him the golden plates to write on. Moroni wrote down the sacrament prayers. He wrote that everything good comes from God. Moroni wrote that Jesus loves all children. He said we can pray to have love in our hearts. Moroni made a special promise. He wrote that if we read the Book of Mormon and ask God, the Holy Ghost will tell us it is true. Then Moroni buried the plates in the Hill Cumorah to keep them safe. Many years later, Moroni came to earth as an angel. He showed Joseph Smith where the golden plates were buried. God blessed Joseph with the power to translate the words on the plates. Today we can read Moroni's words in the Book of Mormon. End of the article, Moroni's Special Promise, read by Kara McClellan.
You Can't Wrap a Horse, by Stephanie Johnson Burns, based on a true story.
Let's talk about gifts.
I love gifts.
They're fun to get, but it's also nice to give them.
There are gifts you can't wrap. Can you think of some of those?
I know, a horse.
But what about an elephant?
Those would be hard to wrap.
What about other gifts? When you help clean up, can you wrap that?
No. Is it still a gift?
Sure. What other gifts could you give?
I can give Papa a hug when he comes home. I can't wrap that.
No, but it's a great gift.
I can invite my friend Ava to primary. Is that a good gift?
Yes. Can you think of a gift that Heavenly Father gave to all of us?
I don't know. What is it?
Our Savior Jesus Christ.
That's the best gift of all.
Question for you. How is Jesus a gift to us?
End of the article, You Can't Wrap a Horse. Read by Scott Christopher, Wes Nelson, Margot Patello, Roseanne Peterson, and Miles McClellan.